Good morning, brothers and sisters. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Truly is a joy to be here this morning again. My heart was just being blessed with what our brothers have to share with us already this morning about just coming before the Lord in humility. And then looking at the fullness of the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for what He has brought to us. I know that I trust all of us are looking forward to that fullness of one day when we'll be at home with Jesus forevermore. Forevermore with the Lord in the sky in that celestial city. And I was just thinking of prayer requests. I was thinking, I know Brother Solly mentioned about Susan having a migraine this morning, being challenged with that. I know that I can identify with that because my wife struggles with that. And I also thought of, I think Jerry here, his father's in a hospital. He went this morning to spend time with him, I guess last evening and this morning. Not sure on his condition. And I also thought of Timothy and Emma's father there this morning, as he begins life without your mother, that this would be a time that that the Lord could work on his relationships in his life, you know, as he thinks of his children and think of Emma and Timothy there, that during this time as a body that we could pray for them and pray for him, that the Lord would, through this trial, that the Lord would be magnified and the Lord would be glorified through those things. So I just thought maybe we'd have prayer here in a bit for some of those needs. And I think prayer is so vital in our lives. And just wanted to lift that up here this morning. And as I was thinking of what the Lord would have me to share here this morning, I was just pondering over that this week. And I was just thinking I thought of many things, but it seems the Lord directed me to speak on temptation. How are we doing with temptation? How are we working this out in our lives? But because I don't believe that we can say if, I believe it's more, we could ask the question when we are tempted. So this is a subject that is our Lord Jesus experienced on the where the enemy came to him shortly after his baptism. And he went out into the wilderness for 40 days, and it says he was being tempted in the wilderness. And so I titled the message this morning, Tempted and Tried. Tempted and Tried. And if when we are tempted and tried, will we stand? Will we stand with Christ? Will we stand with the saints of God? So maybe at this time I will have a word of prayer. And we can all bow our heads. Lord, as we entreat you as our Father here this morning, we do want to thank you. We want to worship you this morning. As you've instructed us in your word, in the Lord's Prayer, you taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom forever. Amen. And so we, Lord, as I come to you this morning, I think of our brothers and sisters. Lord, I think of Brother Jerry as he is praying to minister to his father who is sick in the hospital. Lord, I pray that you would lift up Brother Jerry and his father, Lord, who is sickly. Lord, that you would just give Jerry words. Give him thoughts, Lord, that he could bless his father and just insert words of life, the words of the kingdom that would provoke thought. And I think also of Emma's father, James. Lord, this morning, I'm not sure what his thoughts are, but I pray for him, Lord, that he would see that Jesus Christ wants to comfort him Jesus Christ wants to heal all of his relationships, Lord, with his children, with others, whoever they might be. And that you want to encourage him as well, Lord. I don't know where he's at with you, but you do. And we pray for Emma and Timothy during this time of trial, Lord, that they would just be comforted and that you would make them able to minister to their families during this time through your word. And I think also of Susan, that you would just bless her, Lord, as she struggles through these migraines. Lord, I just give her strength over them, Lord, that you would just bring healing to her. And so we commit this time to you. I pray for this message, Lord, on temptation. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth as you would have it to go, that you would set a watch upon my lips, that you would guard my heart, Lord, and that you would just show me what you would have me to say, Lord. Speak to me through your word. And as the Lord's Prayer teaches us, that you will not lead us into temptation, but your heart is to deliver us from evil, Lord. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, as I thought of temptation, I just was pondering over some verses, and I thought of in 2 Chronicles there, 12:14, speaking of Rehoboam there, how he was a king, and in 2 Chronicles 12:14, it says, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." Talk about Rehoboam there. And so this king Rehoboam, he was a king that he started out, you know, I think the first 3 years he seemed to have the heart after the Lord, but it didn't go on, and he became proud and just lost his way. And I believe at the end it says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord." And many of the kings in the Old Testament had this, where they began right. They did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And then at the end, many of them say, it says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so, you know, there's only two options really this morning. And for even us here this morning, there will be something will be said about us when we pass from this life. And may it be that we walked with the Lord all the days of our life. And I was just thinking of a list of things here that, you know, there's the verse that says that there is no temptation but that which is common to man, Corinthians tells us. And so I just thought I'd bring a list of temptations that most everyone faces. And so at the top of the list here, they're not really in order of how, you know, how could I say it, in order of priority or whatever, but I just kind of put them as they came. And so one of them, the number one I have is materialism in our day. Just dealing with materialism. Matthew 16:26 says that, you know, if we should gain the whole world, for what is it profited? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So this is a work of, or you could say, something that we as men can be tempted with, materialism. And that we would just do what Jesus told us here, that realize that we will not be profited by those things. And then number two is pride. The big pride. Jeremiah 48:29 says, "We have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud, his loftiness and his arrogancy, and his pride and his haughtiness of his heart." So pride is it's an evil thing. And I was just thinking of, saw this little sign. It was kind of a blessing on pride. the center of sin and pride is I. And I just spoke to me as we heard the exhortation this morning on humility, that the Lord could speak to us of the sin and pride in I. Okay, number two is pride. Number three is self-centeredness. Proverbs 18:1. Through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Self-centeredness, just wanting to center everything around myself and my own thoughts. Laziness. That also has Proverbs 6:6. Go to Ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Laziness. Anger. Number five. Things that we are tempted with. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hellfire. So we can see anger is a very prevalent in the work of the flesh, which is also can be a temptation that we fall into. I read also that 50% of the people who go for counseling, they basically struggle with anger. Deep anger in homes and relationships, marriages. Anger is very, it just shatters homes. And I think anger should be dealt with severity. And then number six is lust. Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Number seven is envy. Proverbs 3:31-35. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely the scorner and the scorners, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Gluttony. Proverbs 23:20-21. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Number nine is lying, the sin of lying. Lie not one to another, Colossians 3:9, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Number 10 is covetousness. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And number 11 is hypocrisy. The leaven of the Pharisees, hypocrisy. And I was, I won't read that all, but I have the reference here of Acts chapter 5. Where Ananias and Sapphira came before the apostles, and they were wanting to give to the church, but they were being dishonest, they were being hypocritical, or they were practicing hypocrisy, and we know that the Lord dealt very severely with them. So there's 11 works of, you could say, common tendencies or common temptations that men, that we as men can fail at. And sometimes if we look at them, it's easier to overcome them. So number one is materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness, anger, lust, envy, gluttony, and lying, covetousness, and hypocrisy. So this area of temptation this morning, that the question could be asked, you know, how are we working this out in our lives? How are we dealing with this area of temptation and trials and temptations? 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a beautiful promise. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." How do we overcome temptation? How did Jesus overcome temptation? We could avoid places, things that tempt us. Romans 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh and the lusts thereof." I believe that one of the primary strengths of overcoming temptation is remembering our sonship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering that we are the Son of God as Christians. I'm speaking to Christians primarily here this morning on this topic of temptation and trials. Because I thought of that song, "Often weary and worn on a pathway below, tempted and tried." And we believe this morning that if you're not a Christian, you don't have the trials and temptations that Christians face, because you're not in a battle. You're not in a war. You're not in a fight. But I believe Jesus remembered his sonship when the devil came to him. And I believe there's power in that. Remembering that that we are the Son of God by faith. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." It means to run. It means to take off away from it. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee youthful lusts." And accountability is good in the body of Christ. Answering to someone regularly. 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed." Then it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I think prayer is very vital as well in dealing with temptation, being an overcomer. In James 1, there's a few verses that we could look at in James chapter 1, speaking of temptation. Verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." And that temptation there is a trial. That we are to count it all joy when we fall into trials. A trial is a testing of our faith. A trial is many times what God will bring into our lives to see if he will test us. To see if that gold that's in us, speaking of Christ within, see if that gold can be tempered. But the enemy would have us with trials to become frustrated and discouraged and just give it up. That Strong's number 3986, which basically means a test or a trial. And then in verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So when we face temptations, temptations to do the wrong thing. It is never from the Lord, even though He allows it. And that in 13 and 14 there, that's a Strong's number 3985, which basically means to tempt, to try to trap. To tempt so we fail and sin. It's Satan's motives is to tempt us. And then 15 says, "But and then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it has finished, bringeth forth death." And there again, this morning, temptation in itself is not sin. We can be bombarded with thoughts. We can be bombarded with from the enemy. But that in itself is not sin. But we are to overcome it by prayer and by casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. We connect ourselves with Christ, who also was tempted and overcame every temptation known to man as a human being. And I just thought this was a beautiful verse. Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So we can see that our Lord didn't just say, "Do what I tell you to do." He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows how we feel. But He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without any sin. He was without sin. And then over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And the Gospel of Mark says there that the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." There again, he brought a doubting question. And many times when we're in temptation and trial, the enemy will even maybe use the Word of God at times in a wrong way, just to bring doubts into our lives. He asked him, "If thou be the Son of God." I believe the enemy, the tempter, knew full well that he was the Son of God. That's why he was working so hard to tempt him. But Jesus answered with Scripture, and he said, "It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, possibly Jerusalem, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time dash thy foot against the stone." There again, he questioned his sonship. And that that pinnacle of the temple was, I believe, somewhere, a study I'd done was around 450 to 500 feet off the ground. And, you know, to Jesus, he was trying to tempt him just to show, he wanted him to be lifted up with pride and show that he's the Son of God. But Jesus, he just humbled himself. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them." I believe this was probably more like a vision. He took him up high, on the top of a high mountain. And he saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And he's still tempting men with this today, showing them the glory of the world, and said, if you worship me, I will give you this world. Because I believe that Jesus knew full well it was going to pass away. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So he rebuked him. Then verse 11 says, then the devil leaveth him. Praise the Lord. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The devil leaveth him. And I believe that's how it is in our lives when we face temptation. And we quote scripture, or we say, we say, I am the Lord's. I'm a son of God. Depart from me. He will flee. He will flee from us. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus had just heard, shortly before then, he had just heard, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, in Matthew there, right after his baptism. And the enemy knew that. And he was trying to get Jesus to doubt who he was, that he was the Son of God. And I believe as Christians, our identity in identifying us with Christ, knowing who we are in Christ, is one of the greatest defenses we can possibly have against any temptation. Because when the enemy can bump us off and just make us feel like we're not measuring up, or you know, our feelings play with us at times, if he can get us to feel like we're not truly a child of God, he has a foothold in our lives. He wants to bring doubt into our lives. Jesus went through 40 days in the wilderness, and the children of Israel, they went through 40 years in the wilderness. And I believe this morning that we should not be surprised if we find ourselves in the wilderness, this wilderness of life. And in Deuteronomy there, if you can turn over there, Deuteronomy chapter 8, when it was speaking a little bit of the children of Israel as they were in the wilderness there. Starting in verse 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. And all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe and do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. So many times when we face wilderness times in our Christian life of trials, temptations that we face, remember what he told the children of Israel. He told them that it was to humble them. And it was to prove them that they loved the Lord and that they were serious about following Christ. And what did they do? Maybe a better question would be, what do we do at times when we face trials and temptations? Do we murmur as the children of Israel did? And to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. I believe the children of Israel were tempted and even said so at times, that they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back from where they started because that the trial was too great. And I believe that's a work of the enemy to do that. I believe that God wants to use testings and trials to prove us, to humble us, and he wants to use it that we could know, so he could know what's in this heart. So he could try this heart and see that if it be pure gold, or whether there's some dross in there that needs cleansing. There's some dross. There's something about trials and temptations that will do something in a heart that nothing else will. It will do something in our hearts that nothing else will. But oh, it seems like so easy at times to lament or complain about these trials that we're facing or that I'm facing. You know, as I thought of Moses in Numbers 20 there, where he came over to the children of Israel there, or they were they had no water, and he came to them. I might just turn over to that a minute. Verse 2, it says, "And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here? And wherefore have ye made us come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, and thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." I'll stop there. But we know what happened. We know Moses went up, and it says that he failed there greatly. He did not speak to the rock, but he smote the rock. He smote it twice very hard, and he says, "Ye rebels," he was discouraged, and he was angry. And he was tempted by the enemy, and he gave in. And so he was not able to go into the promised land because of he failed in a time of temptation. And so this morning we can see that murmuring and complaining, when that finds itself on our lips, may we remember that he wants to prove us. He wants to humble us. And he wants to see what is in our hearts. And that will, I think Brother Daniel alluded to that how it comes out of our mouth, what's in our heart when we're in a time of trial or temptation, something along those lines. But I found this quote. It says, "What is temptation? Seduction to evil, solicitation to wrong. It stands distinguished from trial by this. Trial tests, seeks to discover the man's moral qualities or character. But temptation persuades to evil, deludes, that it may ruin. The one means to undeceive, the other to deceive. The one aims at man's good, making him conscious of his moral self, but the other at his evil, leading him more or less unconsciously into sin. God tries, but Satan tempts." A trial can cause one to be tempted, But it is not the cause of temptation. The cause of temptation stems from our carnal nature when it is not controlled. And this verse, as I was thinking and studying on this, the Lord brought this verse to my heart, Hebrews 10:35, that I believe is also very foundational when facing temptation. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Cast not therefore away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." And I think that's the very point there. The enemy of our souls, he knows the great reward that God has prepared and is preparing for his bride. And he knows he will never have part in it. He will never enter that celestial city. So his mission is to detour, deceive, keep away from that celestial city every soul of man that he can. So help us. I think this will help us not to cast away our confidence. 36 says in Hebrews 10, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." "But of them that believe to the saving of the soul." When we face a temptation, Satan tries to accuse us, and he tries to intimidate us. He tries to say, "Someone with your track record, are you really sure you're a child of God?" I think we need to rebuke it in Jesus' name and say, "I'm not worthy to be called a son of God, but by his grace, by his faith, by faith in Christ, and by his eternal purpose, I'm a child of God." And I also thought of the enemy. You know, he never takes vacations. He never takes time off. He never sits down and waits. He is always... It says he's going to and fro on the earth. The Bible says he goes to and fro along the earth. Job teaches us that. Seeking whom he may devour. And so that's why we need this fullness that Brother Dan talked about. The fullness of the power of God within our life. To rise up and to cast down those things that want to overcome us. And to press on to that celestial city by the grace of God. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He doesn't go to bed at night. Jesus Christ stripped him of his power 2,000 years ago. So that the only thing he can really do is he can deceive us through our selfish desires. But if we allow God to temper us, to prove us, to humble us, that is a powerful tool against the devil. And to just be able to deny self. Because 1 John 2:16 tells us, "For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world." James 1:14 says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And I believe also when we are full of Christ, many times the enemy comes when we're at our weakest moment. And I believe that he had that in mind for Christ. When Christ was at a time of testing, he knew he was fasting. He knew that he was at his weaker moment. So he was trying to come in at that point. So many times when we're going through other trials in our lives, then he will come and try to ensnare us. But we're thankful this morning that we have an advocate with the Father. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. Deception is his only weapon. And then he also tells us, you know, God can't fulfill your life. He can't fulfill what you need. But we know better. We know that's not true. And every temptation of the enemy comes in a form of, you know, the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're all designed to entice us and cause us to doubt that God will meet our needs. He will come to us in an hour of temptation, and he will be able to help us to overcome. You know, I was thinking of, you know, how Peter tells us there in 5:8 that Satan comes as a roaring lion. And I know that we've heard, some of us have went to zoos, and we've heard a lion roar. And he will roar, and it just, the earth sometimes trembles, and sometimes it vibrates. And this is very intimidating. But I just want to encourage us this morning that he is powerless. He only has the power we give him. Or he will come as an angel of the light. He will come in a nice little package. But let's just say, for instance, this morning he comes as a roaring lion. You know, I've heard him roar. And many times people go by my house and they got this thump, thump, thump going on in their cars. And I believe that's Satan roaring. He's trying to entice. He's trying to entice. But those of us who are sold out to another kingdom, it does not entice us. He's roaring through the TV, the radio, the newspaper, magazines, the music industry. You know, I just had to think of that as I thought of a lion roaring. How they can roar and intimidate. I had to think of years back. I got into the habit of watching movies when I was running around with the young people, and it was the first movie. You know, it was, oh, this is, I don't know if this is right. And then it was just a downhill slide. You know, I got so addicted to movies that I couldn't do without them. It was my pastime. Every time I didn't have anything else to do, I'd watch a movie. And I just had to think of him as a roaring lion. And I think at that time maybe Time Warner Productions or whatever made most of the movies back in those days, 20, 25 years ago. And I remember that every time before the movie would start, there would be this group of stars that would go around. There would come a lion come out from somewhere, and he would jump through this hoop, and he would let out a roar. And at the time, I never thought anything about it. But I just wondered today, could that be? And I believe it's possible. I believe there's a few good movies out there. I believe there are. But I don't believe there's very many. And I believe for the most part, it's operated by the kingdom of darkness. And so I know that he roars in those ways. He's a master at creating confusion, distrust, anger, anxiety, you know, and depression, distraction. All those things that the movie industry wants to bring to us. It brings unrealistic expectations in marriage and courting and all those things. So I believe it's living a lie for the most part. And we would do well to guard our hearts away from those things. And it don't just stop with the big theater or the car going by. You know, it could even come in our screens of our computers. Almost any movie is available on our computers nowadays if you have the internet. And I believe it's one of the favorite modes of communication for the enemy of our souls. And I was also thinking of, someone just mentioned this to me here recently, and I just looked at it a little bit, but there's a new place. You know, it seems like we have a, you know, the enemy wants us to get to be adventurous and to be thrill seekers. And I just saw someone mentioned there's a place in Fort Wayne just opened up. It's called Laser X. And they offer some excitement to go in there with. I'll just read what they had on their website. I looked at it. It says, "We are offering the most exciting birthday party you can imagine. Bring six or more of your friends and have the best party you ever had. Laser X is where fantasy and reality collide in our 21st century arena. The music is waiting, the fog is waiting, your opponent is waiting, and we're waiting." So I believe it's the world, it's the lust of the world, it's the pride of life. And I believe we ought to stand against that with all diligence. I don't know of anyone here that went there, but I hear that it's becoming a rage in our time in Fort Wayne here. And I would suggest we stand against that. The ungodly music they play during those competitions. And I just had to think, as non-resistant people, I believe we should stand against any type of video games that encourage any type of killing or combat. You know, that's not what we are. That's another kingdom. That's the kingdom of this world. And on the other hand, as we go around, it's not common to find someone listening to a gospel message or reading the Word of God. Those things are in small minority. Colossians 2:15 tells us that, "And Christ, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." So I believe that Christ, he defeated the enemy of our souls. He defeated him. And he made an open display of it. And I believe that we ought to stand against those beggarly elements that want to come back, where Christ, he only spoiled all those principalities and powers that are not of Christ. Second Corinthians 11:3. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So Paul is describing Satan as, you know, very subtle, and Peter describes him as a roaring lion, and I believe he's both. And we need to be aware of both of those approaches. 1 Peter 5:9, 10, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you." And then Philippians 4:8 teaches us that, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And I don't believe there's any of these things at Laser X this morning. But it's the opposite of that. Temptations will come. But if our mind, if our heart is stayed on Christ, he will not be able to overtake us. F.B. Meyer once said that when we see a brother or a sister in sin, there are two things we do not know. First, we do not know how hard he or she tried not to sin. And second, we do not know the power of the forces that assailed him or her. We also do not know what we would have done if we were in the same circumstance. But we know this, that if we are a child of God, and we call upon him in a moment of temptation, he will help us. He's not far from any one of us here this morning. He wants to reach out and help us. There could be a book written of the things that have happened to men and women of Jesus Christ who have resisted temptation, and how that the Lord sent many things that were able to completely detour the temptation. in a very powerful way. I've experienced them in my life. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust and to the day of judgment to be punished. So I believe that we need to claim these promises. I believe that we need to pray these promises from the Word of God. Lord, you know how to deliver me. If you know you have a certain besetting sin that you're struggling with, call upon the Lord. Talk to a brother. Pray with have a brother pray with you to overcome these temptations. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Another version says, Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross so we would stop living for sin and start living for what is right. And you are healed because of his wounds. Because of his stripes, we are healed. So I know that we all need encouragement. And I know that there's many here, sitting here this morning, that have been victorious over the flesh and over sin and over the devil, and they also will tell you that they take heed, because when we say we stand, take heed, because we could fall. So we know that there's power in Christ, and that there's never a shortage on the power of Christ, but there is at times a weakness on our side of not engaging our will, not engaging our hearts in the area of temptation. But I would just encourage us here this morning that we would reach out if we have something we're struggling with, if we have an area that we're struggling with, that we would just share our hearts with someone we're close to. And they could pray for us, and that we could be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I know that temptation is something that is very, it can be very subtle and very, very challenging to work through. And each one of us, maybe the temptation for so-and-so is different than so-and-so. But it's all still temptation. Maybe you hardly ever get angry. Maybe you hardly ever yell at someone because you're angry. But maybe you have a weakness of just lying, stretching the truth. I can remember, when I was at home, I struggled with lying as a young man, because I didn't want to face consequences. I didn't want to be obedient, but I didn't want to get chastised for it. So I would lie. And it was amazing how those patterns tend to follow us. But I praise God today that God has given me victory over that. He's given me full victory over that. And so, those are just things that we can talk about. Lust. Those are areas that we need each other. We need to pray one for another. Whether it's lust for another farm or a new truck, or whether it's lust for the opposite sex, whatever it is. Lust is lust. So my heart this morning was that God would equip us. Well, he would equip us to work through and to be victorious over all the temptation that we face. And I believe this morning that the power that we need is to remember that we are the Son of God, and that he loves us, and that he wants to, he has everything we need to protect us and to help us to be victorious. Because the enemy will come and try to intimidate us and try to bump us off and just make us feel like there's no hope. And then we'll just want to, then he knows it's a downward spiral. But if we fight back, if we rebuke, in Jesus' name, the enemy of our souls, And sometimes it's the enemy, and sometimes it's just our flesh. Sometimes it's just our flesh wanting to rise up. And so I believe we need to stand against that. So I just want to have a word of prayer. Maybe we could all stand for a word of prayer. Yes, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these words of life. I thank you for that you've given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that you've given us every provision to be victorious over the enemy of our souls. I pray today, Lord, that I don't know all the hearts that are standing in this room. You know all the temptations that were faced this week. You know the temptations that will be faced today yet, and maybe even all of next week. I pray, Lord, that you would show yourself strong in all of our lives, Lord. That in these areas of temptation, that victory could be gained. If those who are falling are failing, Lord, that we would be victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Because of Christ, because we are his son, the son of God, through faith. And so we're joint heirs with Christ. And I want to thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for everyone who came to hear the word of the Lord. I pray that now that you would multiply it, these few words that I was able to share by your power, I pray that you would multiply them and that you would build your kingdom through the body of Christ. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.